This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment of this Labor Day Sunday edition of Hardline. I'm Lucas Buckley in for Joe Beamer, and we're checking in on labor around town. Joining us is Denise Abbott, Health and Safety Director for CWA Local 1168, and also the new president of the Western New York Area Labor Federation. Denise, thank you for joining us, and happy Labor Day to you.
Thanks so much. Happy Labor Day to you, too, and all the listeners.
Yes, of course. Thank you. And I want to focus with you a little bit on the importance of Labor Day. It's pretty much it's the people's holiday, right? We all have jobs. We're all out there working. And tomorrow, we hopefully all have the day off in recognition of the work we do. You're in a position where you represent people. You're in very close with workers. Explain to me the importance of Labor Day and why it's so important that we celebrate it.
So Labor Day is our day that we take to stop and celebrate working people all across the United States. It's an important day that we look back on the successes that we've had, where we've come from, the work that we've done, and give kind of people a break on the day and allow them to celebrate, what working class people have succeeded in doing here in Western New York, especially.
And, you know, what does being a union member mean to you? For the people you represent, what have you heard from them? What makes it so important?
So being a union member is extremely important. The work that we put into negotiating contracts is not just about wages. It's a lot about safety in the workplace. It's about security in a workplace, benefits that can be provided, and having stability.
And for being someone in a leadership role, what does the job include when you're not negotiating new contracts? What are you doing in the interim to make sure that your workers are having their rights maintained?
So there's a lot that goes into when we're not negotiating contracts. We're uniting the affiliates, all of our affiliates, doing education, having discussions on struggles that they might be encountering outside of contract negotiations, having political discussion as to legislation and protections that we need to either have enforced or new legislation that we'd like to see on the books, who our partners are, how to work with those partners, community groups, doing work in the community. That's something that we're very proud of is, being able to give back to our communities, working in the communities where we work, where we live, and with those that we represent.
And that's we're lucky that in the U.S., you know, we could have those protections, and that it's such a sprawling, I guess, community, you can say, of unions. What's interactions like, say, between a CWA branch here in Buffalo? How might you interact with one across the country?
So we have a lot of communication with our brothers and sisters across the country. We kind of talk about, you know, what's happening in their communities, what successes that we've had here, what works there, trying to build those relationships and seeing, you know, how we can either work together or, you know, bringing back things to our community that they've seen that have been successful, you know, strategizing across the country as to, you know, what some of this legislation means and how we can protect one another. You know, the losses that we've experienced in this last several months has been tremendous. So we talk with a lot of folks in other affiliates. And again, you know, CWA itself, I'm constantly in communication as to, you know, what's happening across the country.
And as we mentioned at the beginning of this interview, you are the new president of the Western New York Area Labor Federation. Give me a look at the labor situation around the region. What industries are most represented, and what do you do in the day-to-day?
So the representation here in Western New York is all across the board. We have the steel workers and the auto workers. We have the Teamsters, so we have truck drivers. We have ATU, which is represented, which is our bus drivers and paratransit folks. The teachers are represented, healthcare workers with CWA and SEIU 1199. We have nursing home workers. We have Starbucks workers. We have a huge gamut of folks that are represented here in Western New York, and we meet, and the work that we do is we talk about where they're at, what they need. We talk about the legislation, again, that has just passed, and struggles that we're going to be encountering within the next couple years. So we have, you know, we have grocery store workers, we have custodians, we have those that are, you know, the building trades, all of those folks. So we have a great representation of labor in Western New York.
And you mentioned there maybe some challenges down the line. What are some of those, and how are you preparing for them?
So we've had some great success. I mean, we've just bargained the Kaleida contract, which was fantastic. You know, we have some increase in wages there. We've brought up some of the lower income folks' wages, but the struggles with the new Big Beautiful Bill and the attack that's on labor unions that's across this country are tremendous. You know, we're looking at the cuts that were happened to the VA workers, federal workers, with their contracts being wiped out. You know, we see this administration is coming after unions. They're coming after working people who built this country, who work to keep this country going, and the impacts that it's going to have on families across the country and here in Western New York is going to be tremendous. We're going to be looking at probably increase in wait times in hospitals and in clinics. We're going to see service lines that are probably going to be cut back or eliminated. Right now, the fear is that, you know, there's talk of possibly almost 8 Southern Tier hospitals at risk of closure. So our rural communities are at risk of losing services and having to wait and having to go long distances to receive such services. So that's some of the struggles that we're looking at. And, you know, labor-wise, we're looking at loss of, you know, there's a real fear about the NLRB and protections with the NLRB and contracts that, you know, the public sector are experiencing now that could transpose into the private sector as well.
What type of advocacy is going on maybe at the state level? Are you petitioning maybe state leaders or even federal leaders that maybe oppose some of the practices that are going on that you say it's an attack on labor? Are you advocating with any lawmakers to sort that out?
Absolutely. So we've been working with Gillibrand and Schumer. Our Congress folks, we've been talking with them at length in regards to the attacks that have been ongoing, and they've been working diligently to make sure that, you know, there's protections in place and what they can do to help the impact of all of this. We've been working with local leaders. We've been working with the governor in regards to all of these impacts that are going to happen. So there's been a lot of discussion.
And Denise, one more for you here. You mentioned earlier the successful Kaleida negotiations that happened, I think it might have been a month ago or maybe 2 months ago now. For healthcare workers especially, why are unions so important for them?
Well, it's the protections. It's earning a living wage. Unions, you know, these contracts help people earn a living wage that they can stay in Western New York, that our healthcare systems stay successful. You know, the other success is with the nursing homes. And, you know, there's a real struggle when it comes to that, you know, we have chronic underfunding of healthcare, for-profits that need to do better. You know, healthcare here is extremely important. We have the wonderful medical hub, you know, down in the city of Buffalo, and we have great facilities with Oshai's Children's Hospital, with Roswell Park, and those hospitals need to continue to provide those services along with all of the other hospitals included in Kaleida Health and Catholic Health. And the stability of these contracts for the workers is essential. It keeps very good people here in Western New York doing the jobs that the community needs.
All right, Denise, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and have a wonderful holiday tomorrow.
You too. Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are now joined by Art Wheaton. He is a labor expert at Cornell in Buffalo. Art, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us, and happy Labor Day to you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We just spoke with Denise Abbott from the Communications Workers of America, and she brought up some concerns regarding organized labor under the current administration. She mentioned cuts to federal worker contracts, possibly leading to delays in services at hospitals and clinics. What is your current assessment of the state of organized labor in the U.S. right now and going forward, at least under this administration?
I think they are under attack from this administration. I think the firing of the National Labor Relations Board, folks where they don't have a quorum, so they can't get a lot of work done, firing the public sector, eliminating collective bargaining for many of the federal government workers, just attack after attack after attack on organized labor. So it's certainly a daunting time right now for many people in the unions, which means if you have a common enemy, you want to band together to help strike back. So it's bringing the union together to help fight a common cause, which is the Trump administration attacking the organized labor.
Here in Buffalo, what are some of the areas of labor that you see potentially being the most at risk if these cuts continue? What industries?
Almost all of them. So one of the biggest ones is Veterans Hospital, so that he's attacking the federal employees and getting rid of them as much as he can. So they've eliminated collective bargaining rights for people that work for the VA hospitals, people that work for any of the border or TSA. A lot of those folks have been losing their collective bargaining rights. They are also being impacted. Social Security, eliminating a lot of the offices where now you have to try to go into the main office and not as much by phone or by internet anymore.
And you mentioned the National Labor Relations Board as well. An appellate court just recently ruled that the board is likely unconstitutional. What does that mean for American workers? What rights are threatened?
Well, the National Labor Relations Board is the group that upholds the National Labor Relations Act of 1936 and 37. And that's what gives everybody the right to join a union and a lot of the unionized rights. And the NLRB is the entity that's the court for that. So it's got a huge impact, and that's going to be very painful for unions trying to organize because you have to get an NLRB election. So it's the NLRB that runs the elections and certifies that, yes, you have a union. And if they're deemed unconstitutional, even though they've been around since 1936, then that could create problems for having new unions and organizing new members.
And you mentioned that 1936. I don't know about you, Art, but to me, America is the union country. It's the worker country. It's you're protected. You should be proud. That's why we have a day like tomorrow for Labor Day to celebrate us, the workers. It's what our grandfathers and our great grandfathers fought for those rights. What would be the motivation to possibly put those rights at risk?
Well, you're right. In Buffalo, we do have a strong union presence, and they have a pretty good unionization density. But the private sector across the country is about 7% now. So you're less 93% of private industry is non-union. So we don't have quite the same level of strength. And then in 1947, when they did finally change the Labor Relations Act, National Labor Relations Act, they put the Taft-Hartley Act, which created the right to work for less money states, and that's created problems as well.
So it's been a budding issue for years then, where unionization has sort of been falling off a gradual cliff, would you say?
Oh, yes, it's been a downturn, but part of it has to do with the rest of the world grew up. So we really expanded in the 40s, 50s, and 60s when most of our global competition was recovering from wars, whether it was, you know, Korea, China, and all of Europe, and everybody else has been having Vietnam. A lot of countries that are main competition now were not doing a lot of exports and a lot of mass production because they had faced troubles at home, and the U.S. didn't have as many of those issues. So it hurt the union density when we started to have a lot more global competition.
Have you had conversations with local unions about what's happening? And if so, what have they told you?
I have conversations with local unions all the time for teaching my classes, and most of them have said that it's tough, that there's the wages and the benefits have not really kept up with what was happening in the 60s and the 70s, so that it's getting harder. People are having less workers doing more work. Healthcare in particular is under attack, where they have too much work, too many demands, and not enough people. They can't meet the safe staffing levels, and that's been some of the sources of the strikes or some of the unease at the bargaining table. And it's the race to the bottom. People are not trying to make everyone in America better. It's more of a race to the bottom, trying to squeeze out every last penny, and that's usually on the backs of workers.
And that's something that actually our last guest, Denise Abbott, brought up was healthcare unions and how they're one of the most prevalent there. They got good news. At least the Kaleida workers did. They got a new contract a couple months ago. Ending on a positive note, what are some good signs, in your opinion, for unions in America and here locally?
Well, locally, you had a couple big wins for Ford in their contracts and General Motors in their contracts that you've seen. In the last couple of years, you've seen the unions able to win back some gains at the bargaining table. It's always tough, but you've seen some improvements for those. And anytime you help raise union members' wages, you help raise communities because they spend all of that money in their local community. So it helps all of the charitable organizations. It helps all the car dealers. It helps all the grocery stores. If you can have the union workers getting better pay and better benefits, it just spreads the money throughout the community.
And lastly for you, Art, what does Labor Day mean to you? Sort of sappy, but what does it mean to you? You work in the field.
Biggest thing is celebrate that workers, that America was built on the middle class, built on the union workers, and we really need to recognize that it's not easy out there. They call it work because they have to pay you to do it. Otherwise, they'd call it fun. So Labor Day is saying, you know, we understand work is hard.
All right, Art, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.